name. Amen. So tonight's sharing is going to be fixing anxiety. So if you turn to Genesis, the 15th chapter. And my dad and was really good at growing up that he would tell us, don't think those thoughts. So in school, they teach you in psychology to evaluate, why are you feeling this way? Why are you thinking this? The scripture says you have it's not a demon, but you have an adversary inside your head. It's the genetics of Adam and Eve. You have Cain living in you. You don't want to interview him. Shut him up. And the scriptures are clear about grabbing your thoughts captive, not thinking certain things, focusing on holy things. And Yahweh even says, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. We're to choose to make his thoughts our thoughts. There's a fight. We have Cain and Abel in us every day. Which dogs are going to win? It's the one you take care of. And if you're not taking care of it, you're going to lose. And you keep losing. You keep losing. But it is our job to make our thoughts his thoughts. And sometimes that can be more difficult than others. When we were in Estes Park at a hotel, we're waiting for the continental breakfast, and they have CNN on. And CNN's all this fake garbage, it's just fecal matter coming out of the TV, lies, blasphemy. I'm on vacation, I want away from this. So finally I had enough of this. I went up to the young manager, he's probably 16, I go, will you turn that off? He goes, I can't. It has to be on. It's a part of our job. Turn the TV on. Turn it off. I can't turn it off. Can I change the channel? And so I didn't think that, but it came out. Can I at least change the channel? I go, yeah, sure. I went and changed the channel. One channel was sports. And guess what? Everybody in there was edified. Oh, it's the Nebraska game. And we're sitting there watching. And so controlling your thoughts, you can't stop. You can't not think something. Don't think about snowballs. What are you thinking about? Snowballs. You have to control your thoughts. And if you don't want to think about something, it's a TV. All of us have a TV on with a program. We used to have it with employments at clients' house sometimes. Sometimes the TV is going on the whole time. And that's our lives. Have you ever been in a room where you're trying to have a serious conversation, there's a TV going on?
Yeah.
It's distracting. That is our brain if you aren't in control of it. Your brain and my brain is a wild animal. And if you don't discipline it like a dog, it will run crazy and your life's going to be a mess. And you won't know the difference between Yahweh giving you a revelation and an infomercial on the TV. Was that you? Yes, call 1-800-MEDICARE. And you have no idea. But the concept is, on fixing anxiety, fixing stress, change the channel. The TV's always going to be on. It's your head. What are you going to focus on? And you have a choice. And if you're looking at your obstacles, and how do you know if you have anxiety? Ask your spouse. My wife will go, you look really serious. And we'll be during appointments and stuff. She like went to a chiropractor and she's like, you look really angry. That's just my face. Change your face, Aaron. You look angry. You're supposed to be an ambassador of Christ. And it's the same thing we're selling some. She'll look at my face and go, the way you look does not look... it's not my fault. Yes, it is your fault. Change your face. Be an ambassador of Christ. And so practice it. And so what we should be doing is... do we have stress? Do we have anxiety? Are we overflowing with joy? Stuff like this. And every once in a while, we're going to go through some difficult times. Then all of a sudden, you're in a funk. It could be just sad. I'm just in a funk. I can't get out of it. We're going to look at... an example in Genesis chapter 15, and I'm going to take. I said Genesis chapter 15. The only person that Yahweh calls his friend. Somebody said that's my best friend. Now, if Yahweh, in my opinion, when you write his friend, that's like saying your best friend. He and I go way back. And here's the father of our faith, Abraham. Somebody would read 1 and 2. Chapter 15.
After these things came the word of Yahweh unto Abram in a vision, saying, Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield unto thee, thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, My Lord Yahweh, what canst thou give me when I am going on childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?
So pause right there. What's real important is kind of knowing the context. Sodom and Gomorrah had just been overthrown. It's an evil town. His nephew's living in Sodom and Gomorrah, gets taken captive. Abraham goes and rescues them all and gets the booty. And what's the first thing Yahweh says? Yahweh says, don't worry about it. It must be them. And what is his response? What is Abraham thinking about? His past? His future. His future.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yahweh, you promised me something. And I have all this, but I have no legacy. Who's going to carry on after me? That is anxiety. I said, Ten Saunders did that once. He goes, we don't stress out about what already happened. You don't stress out what happened last year at Christmas. You might not even remember it. What do you stress out about? Next week, what's going to happen to your family? What's going to happen to your business? What's going to happen to politics? And Yahweh reproved me to the night of the election with President Trump. That he goes, reproved me. I didn't necessarily know it until things came into fruition. Sometimes he talks to you and you're like, if that comes into fruition, that must be Yahweh. But he went, what's wrong with you? What do you mean, what's wrong with me? And it's just this, a conversation. It's not audible. You're having and you know exactly what he's saying. And he basically said, Aaron, if Trump wins this election, what was the profit of you these last 2 days? And he gives me a glimpse of me. I'm thinking communism. You're thinking about China's going to do this and what's going to happen here and how serious the severity of the situation was affecting me. And who was reproving me? The creator of the universe. And when Trump wins, I got a text message as soon as I woke up, Trump won. Guess what Yahweh reminded me through his Holy Spirit? Do I have your attention? You didn't help anybody, man. You didn't help me. You didn't help the cause. You had your phone off the hook so I couldn't talk to you. And in fact, there were people that needed to be ministered to, but your phone's off the hook. When you lose peace, like I did, and did I have legitimate reasons? He doesn't care. The purpose of our existence is communion with the Creator. The purpose of our existence is He needs servants. That's why man was created. Servants. And what is the purpose of a servant who doesn't work? Right? And we are created in the image of Elohim. And who serves more than Him? For Yahweh so loved the world, He gave. And we are to be like Him. And if we have anxiety or stress, who are we serving? Have you been serving much? Are you witnessing? Are you washing people's feet? But in my case, I clocked out with good intentions, but it's a good lesson. But here, Abraham's looking, what's the point of all this? I'm not going to have a child. And would somebody read 3-5?
And Abram said, Lo, to me hast thou not given seed, and lo, a son of my household is my heir. And lo, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, This one shall not be thine heir, but one who cometh forth of thy body, he shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look steadfastly, I pray thee, toward the heavens, and number the stars, if thou be able to number them.
Pause right there. Now all this was Pastor Tim Fruits just did. This is a really good exercise. Everybody stick your hands out like this. Okay? See, Father, we're ready to receive whatever you want us to do. We're your servants. If your hands aren't pointed up, if you're not asking for it, he doesn't get this confirmation if he doesn't have this conversation. You have to say, hey, what's up? Abraham didn't go, you know. Well, does Yahweh know? Yeah. But he wants to talk. He doesn't want to read our diary. What's going on? Why are you in the funk, Abram? Which you know, man, I don't have any kids. We put a Father, we're ready to receive your blessings. And then the next thing is, your hands again, if you guys don't mind, turn them upside down. What is causing anxiety? Every one of you, all of us, focus on one thing that's causing anxiety and dump it. Get permission. I don't want it. Is everybody focused on one thing? Give me a nod or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. What does Yahweh do? Who came before Abraham? Did Moses come before Abraham or after?
After.
Okay. I didn't know. Obviously, you knew. Moses. Yeah. Okay. Would you? I don't interact. Was there a Tanakh or a Torah with Abraham?
No.
And E.W. Bulger says Yahweh wrote the word in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the Magi knew Christ was going to be born. There's a virgin up there. There's a dragon. There's all kinds of things. Yahweh had the stars, and what Yahweh was doing to Abraham and what he's doing with us, and kind of the thing for this teaching is, look at me. Yahweh is the invisible God. You want to see him? He's right here. He's in his word. Abraham, stop looking at the child or your future. Look at me. Look at my scriptures. Look at my scriptures. And what Abraham did more than once, Yahweh said, look at the scriptures. Do you have anxiety? Look at the scriptures. Are you stressed out? Look at the scriptures. There's all the medications you need in here. You like holistic medicine? It's the most holistic there is. All the ingredients are perfect. Well, Rotherham gets close to the perfect. It's all holistic, no additives. Bad translations got all kinds of additives, right? But here it is. The handout, there's a handout here. You guys pass it out, pass it around. Is 20 prescriptions. And so we think about a scripture is a prescription. If you look at the word prescription, I think if you see the definition, you can apply it to scriptures. Yahweh's got a scripture for that. Yahweh has a prescription for what is ailing you. Are you coming to the doctor for it? And in this case, what we're going to do is just as an exercise, we're going to take whatever's been causing anxiety in your life, and we're just going to go, we'll go to Philippians 4:4, we'll just go through a couple of these things. But this list of 20 prescriptions, there's 20 stars for you to look at to focus on. If you have anxiety, if you have stress, look at the stars just like Abraham did. Rachel, why don't you go to Isaiah 41:10?
I think you said Philippians.
She goes to Isaiah 41:10. Mom, would you go to 2 Timothy 1:7? Dad, would you go to Philippians 4:4? And I'll go to Psalms 94. And then we'll take turns reading a prescription for stress, anxiety. Are you overwhelmed? And Deb, if you read verse 4 through 8.
Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your considerateness be made known unto all men. Yahweh is near. For nothing be anxious. Let everything by your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which rises above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Yahushua.
The Philippians 4:4 is perfect for stress or anxiety. And sometimes we don't even know we have stress until somebody brings it up. They go, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? I'm having a perfectly fine day. Really? So I took a course on a concealed carry that talked about stress. And it talked about, you want to know if you're going through stress, your heart rate starts going up. Check your pulse. Are you talking really fast? And have you become impulsive with your words? Can you slow down? If you can't, then you're going through a stress. So these are responses to stress. And so we go, okay, kind of back off. But Philippians 4 starts off stress with rejoice. Are you rejoicing? Rejoice. Again, rejoice. Do it again. Oh, feel like it. That's why you do it. It's like somebody who doesn't exercise. You need to start, I don't feel like exercising. That's why you're diabetic. You gotta get started. Just get started, but rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Psalms 100, which we sung, says, come into his courts with what?
Praise.
And?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. You want to go before the creator of the universe. You don't walk into the king's court moping.
I'll still serve you. I don't need any rewards. I love you.
Really? Because that doesn't look like an advertisement. Nehemiah, when he asked to go before King Ahasuerus and Esther, before the king, how did he ask the question? He's in the courts. It's against the law to bring your outside problems into the guy who's running the whole kingdom. Everybody's supposed to be looking happy. And John Shea and I did a teaching on that. Here's Solomon. Queen of Sheba comes. Look at your attendants. They're so happy. They're not happy. They're being beaten. They're being taxed. Right? Okay. So why are they so happy? Because that's how you come into the court of a king. And so how are we going before our king? Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Psalms 100 with thanksgiving, giving him praise. And one of the problems with anxiety is your flesh is inflamed. You have to rejoice. You have to give thanksgiving. It's an antibiotic. You got to take this penicillin. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7. Does mom?
Just a minute. I'm sorry.
For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of cowardice, but love and sound mind.
For God hath not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and correction.
In the context of this, what's the context? The Apostle Paul is going to tell Timothy, don't be a coward. Ow! Verse 15, all of Asia has departed from me. Remember those letters he wrote in 2 Corinthians? They got a new Jesus and another Holy Spirit. They left. What was the point of that letter? What was the point of Ephesus? The Thessalonians. And he's going to say, they all departed. Would that be difficult if you're a minister and your whole congregation is going to throw you out? What are you going to want to do? You're going to want to be like an Aaron. No, I can't throw in the towel. I got to keep them together. No, your objective is we serve him. We serve him. So don't be a coward. Matthew 6:33 to Rachel. I went off on a tangent. He has not given us a spirit of cowardice, of fear. Do you have cowardice or fear, or you feel like quitting? Yeah, if you have anxiety, you do. Who's that from? Not from the boss. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so nice about the word adversary. The adversary is anything that's not with Yahweh. Right? So if it's contrary to Yahweh, whether it's my flesh or whether it's the adversary, it's the adversary. But the thoughts that are coming in, the stress is coming in, it's not coming from Yahweh. Okay, so what is it? It's junk mail. Spam it. Don't open it. Delete it. Rachel, go ahead.
I've got 40. Isaiah.
Okay.
Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for with thee I am. Look not around, for I am your God. I have emboldened thee. I have helped thee. I have upheld thee with my righteous right hand.
You can read it through 20, but here's Yahweh's, don't fear. I have got you. I'm upholding you with my right hand. Look at me. And you keep reading through verse 2. Keep reading.
Lo, they shall turn pale and be ashamed, all they who have been incensed against thee. They shall become as nothing and perish. The men who have been thine accusers, thou shalt seek them, but shalt not find them. The men who have contended with thee, they shall become as nothing and as a thing of naught. The men who have warred against thee, for I, Yahweh, your God, thy God, have firmly grasped in your right hand. Who am saying unto thee, do not fear, I have become thy helper. Do not fear, thou worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. I have become thy helper, declares Yahweh, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Lo, I have made of thee a new pointed threshing sledge, owning teeth. Thou shalt thresh mountains and crush them, and hills like chaff shalt thou make. Thou shalt fan them, and a wind shall carry them away, and a whirlwind scatter them. But thou shalt exult in Yahweh, and in the Holy One of Israel shalt thou boast thyself. For as for the oppressed and the needy, seeking water when there is none, their tongue with thirst being parched, I, Yahweh, will answer them. The God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open on the bare hills rivers, and in the midst of plains fountains. I will make the desert a lake of water, and parched land springs of water.
And you can pause there, but it starts off with fear not. And the whole scripture is, look at me. Look, what are you looking at? Abraham, look at the stars. He sees your work. He sees each one of your work. Well, what's the point? What's going to happen after I'm gone? Stop it! Look at me!
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen after me? What's going to happen to all this property that I have and all of my legacy? That where your heart is your treasure, or that where your treasure is, your heart is too. Is your treasure here? Because our greatest hero, one of our greatest heroes, Abraham, how many children did he really have?
One.
Well, he had one through Sarah. Okay, and then he had Keturah, but he had one. How many grandchildren did he have? Isaac and Jacob, and then was he around for the 12? I'm not quite sure. He could have been. Is that seed? Where was his hope? This hope was the resurrection. And in Psalms 94, there's another one in Isaiah. Yahweh says, "Fear not, for with thee I have rescued you. Mine you are. When you go through the fires, the fire won't touch you. The water won't touch you. A flame won't be kindled on your head. For I, Yahweh, ready to rescue thee." And he's looking, going, "Look at me." What happened when David, for 40 days, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, for 40 days, a 9.5 to 10.5 foot tall giant mocked Israel? What happened with Saul for 40 days? Probably going through Tums, right?
Yeah.
You think he had some indigestion?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute, Yahweh's not with him anymore. What's happened? They're postponing it. And they're looking, and they said, "And have you seen this man? Aaron, have you seen Fox News?" Oh, no. But what did David do to the giant? He compared him with his father. David goes, "I know all about shepherds. I know about shepherds, and I know about sheep. And I know that if a lion or a bear comes, I kill it. And I know that Israel is Yahweh's sheep, and he's a good shepherd." And there's a psalm that says, does anyone remember the psalm? "Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not
want.
He's going to take care of me." And he compared his problem with his shepherd. "You don't know my shepherd." And in fact, David has a Ruach Kodesh. I bet he started getting really fired up. He's going to go, "What the heck is the matter with you guys?" But he compared the anxiety with the scriptures. Yahweh is the scriptures. And then somebody does have stress, you go, "Here's what you need to do. You need to read through 20 scriptures about stress or anxiety. And recalibrate these things." And as you do it, what the number one purpose is, you've got to get your peace back, or you don't know what your orders are. Mm-hmm. He might be telling you to fetch water. He might be telling you to take out the trash. And you're so stressed out, you're not getting anything. He's very irritated when we do that. You got so much static. Dad and I, we got into business, there'd be people with the TV on so loud, you'd have to yell over the people. My dad, "Can you turn that off?" And I'd be too embarrassed to ask it, but they'd go, "Oh, okay." That's what Yahweh is asking us to do with stress and fear. To be able to just turn it off, and you can talk to him about it and say, okay. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 19, chapter 19 of Matthew. I'll try to stay on topic here. 19, verse 20. Verse
20?
Let me get there. Chapter 19. And one of my wife's favorite characters, we're going to talk about Peter here. Verse 23, Yehoshua, before this he talked about treasures in heaven, because he said, "What further do I lack?" He goes, "Sell all your stuff and you'll have treasures in heaven." He couldn't do it. Down to 23, and Yehoshua said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, a rich man with difficulty shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel through the eye of a needle to enter than a rich man into the kingdom of Yahweh. Do you think Yehoshua knows how to do cliffhangers?
Yeah.
You know what a cliffhanger is?
Yeah, but is that about the war? And Jerusalem, in the war, yeah. Have a old Mm-hmm. And that's always called that.
Okay, sure, yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that too. The eye of the needle.
Yeah.
But verse 25, what's their response? And hearing it, the disciples are being struck with great astonishment, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Okay, so Christ was a perfect teacher, and he would say things. Trying to get a response. Let's talk about this. I want to teach you something. And looking intently, Yehoshua said to him, "With men this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible." And in verse 27, then making answer, Peter said unto him, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." Which is unique, because what did Yehoshua tell Peter at the beginning? Follow me. And he left his nets. And then later on, at the end of John, he's going to ask him to leave his nets again. You know, all of us, I think, have a tendency to go back to our nets and about our own ideas and plans, and sometimes our stress is about our nets. Peter's going, "We left everything for you." And Peter is, it would appear, he's saying what everybody's thinking. Wait a minute, I've given up everything for you. You guys ever thought about burning out? You're going to burn out in your ministry and your calling? This isn't worth it. Family's getting whittled down. This isn't worth it! Or whatever it is. But here's, what is... let somebody read the next verse.
28?
Yeah, because Peter says, "What? Give me something to focus on." Peter's looking at his past. Look what I gave up. And now here, I don't even know if I'm going to be saved, maybe. Maybe, I don't know what he was going through his mind. And Yehoshua said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, as for you who follow me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall take his seat on his throne of glory, ye also shall be seated upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Mm-hmm. What would have happened if Peter didn't say anything? I don't know, but he did, and I wonder about going to bed that night and them thinking about it. Do you think they thought about Solomon's throne? Were they thinking about the Messiah returning and reestablishing? Yeah, he's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. There's all these different stories, and now going to bed that night, maybe Peter closes his eyes. Maybe they're trying. If you want faith, if you're not using your imagination, you're not using your faith. Your imagination should be saying, "Where am I going?" My dad's great with that. We go on vacation. He'll give me all kinds of videos of where you're going. Most of my life I was so lazy, I didn't even investigate where I was going. Is that well pleasing to the person paying the vacation? Mm-mm. Where are you going? And use your imagination. Have you asked Yahweh, "What will I get if I don't quit?" Some of my anxiety was reading about Jehoshaphat and about his mistakes after he got successful. I'm reading, and my dad does a teaching on it. I'm like, "Great, this must be a warning." And I started getting stressed out. But maybe each one of us should say, "Can you give me a glimpse of the throne? Will I get a throne? Will I get pasture land? Did Yahweh literally promise land to certain people that haven't gotten it yet?" Yeah. Terra firma. But there could be a throne too. So the scriptures is always going to be number one. Look at the scriptures. And actually, I started this teaching by wanting to go here, talking about our throne, and I didn't have the peace that I needed even to do this teaching. Mm-hmm. It was all hypothetical until I Googled anxiety, and these 20 scriptures pull up for anxiety. And I just started reading through the scriptures to see if they fit. Guess what happened? Anxiety's gone. It's when you go into the scriptures, think about yourself going into a quarantine environment, and all of a sudden and the more you go into the scriptures, the deeper you go into Yahweh's forest, and they can't follow you in there. Maybe it's like TSA or something, and I got done reading the four scriptures and I went, "I'm fixed." You gotta be kidding. That was pretty easy. Yeah, but not just that. Your throne also. Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice." Again, I say rejoice. Psalms 100, "Make a joyful noise." Those scriptures are not, should be used when you don't feel like singing. And then Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Are you looking at the stars? Is it going to be worth it? Hebrews chapter 11 is about the heroes that endured. How did Daniel endure being turned into a eunuch in a captivity? Why? His fathers. He didn't do anything to deserve any of this. But what was his hope? Which direction did he turn to pray? Jerusalem. What does that say? He's looking at our Father. There's going to be a resurrection. And even though you're a eunuch, I can reward you. Joseph sold into slavery. What was he looking at? A resurrection. Everything gets fixed in the resurrection. Even when Lazarus is... I think it was a woman at the fountain. She says when the Messiah comes, he's going to explain everything. Resurrection. Everything's going to get worked out. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says what? If you believe it, it's coming out of your mouth. So if you want to endure and you don't want to burn out, you don't want to quit, focus on the stars and focus on the resurrection. And I have never asked to see what throne Peter didn't ask for a throne. He goes, but he's about ready to burn out. It is what it looks like. Have you guys ever almost burned out? I don't know if this is worth it. I'll keep showing up for work, but I'm not showing up for work with joy. And he asked, and he's just imagining. At the resurrection, we're going to see Abraham. And I like to use my imagination that we're going to get to see the rewards. Here comes Abraham across the stage. And we're going to be sitting there watching. Can you imagine a huge Colosseum, jumbotrons? That's what Abraham looked like. He's really tall. Who would have thought he had blonde hair? Yeah, here he is. He walks, and then Yahweh goes, here's your land. Boom! Abraham, here's your children. Boom! And he's like, oh, Abraham, remember that city you're looking for? There it is. Boom! There, and then here's Yahushua. And Abraham's like, yes! Here's Moses at the very end. Come up here, Moses! And here's Yahweh. Where's Yahweh? He's invisible. His son's his ambassador. What did Pharaoh say? If you want to talk to me, talk to Joseph. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what Yahweh's done with Yahushua. Come up here, Moses! Here comes Moses. Boom! 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 We get to see these wars. Go, wow, how about Samson? How did he go out? The Yahweh's heroes went out at the very end. And what trophies, what rewards, what land? And I think Yahweh is waiting for us to ask him those things so that we can be encouraged. So we don't burn out. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for that. I apologize for the anxiety that I bring in to work sometimes. It is not with intention, but that's irrelevant. Our job is to show up for work and to be joyful citizens and to count your scriptures that remind us who we are and what we owe you, 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one and half all died. Hence then, all died. And we should live for him who died for us. So we just thank you, Father, for your word. And I thank you that I was in a funk with stress, and my father gave me a prophecy at the work. And what did you do? You turned me back to your scriptures with Philippians 4:4. Rejoice again, I say. Know, my sons and my daughters, that I am more ready to heal you than you are to even acknowledge that you're sick. Think about that. Pause. All of you have sicknesses. All of you have worries and things that you are carrying around thinking that you're doing me a favor, and you're not. Let go of this garbage. Let go of it and come with me. Sit upon my lap. You don't bring garbage to sit on a throne, let alone a king's lap. Come to me and I will heal your wounds and I will build you up. As you imagine David, can you imagine David taking a lamb? How would David, this shepherd, take care of a lamb, especially after he snatched it out of the hands of a lion? Can you see him grooming and being tender? How much more so the perfect shepherd? Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Amen.
Amen.